Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Today's episode is sponsored by my Lit Daily Online Yoga Classes. This is an exclusive pass into my personal practice and program that I created from experience as a physical therapist and 20 years developing my Lit Yoga methodology. There is a different class with me every day, including special monthly live streams, so you can feel your most lit up anytime and anywhere. Get a 3-day free trial today by going to movementbylara.com and clicking daily classes. Let's get moving. Good movement and welcome to Redefining Yoga, a Movement by Lara podcast, which is designed to investigate all aspects of the modern evolution of yoga from my background as a physical therapist and lover of movement. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through safer and smarter movement patterns, so together we can be uplifted, benefiting all beings. Today is Friday with friends, and I have with me a very special friend, Catherine Ferraro, who is now working for me. She's here for 6 months. She's a captain in the Air Force who is doing a bridge program, but I'm going to let her talk a little bit about it. First of all, welcome, Catherine.
Thank you. Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, I know. So let's talk about how you came to be here with me in the sauna.
Yes. I'm a sauna. Yeah. So I am, like you said, a captain in the Air Force working space things, so transitioning to Space Force. And I'm coming off of active duty and going into the reserve. The Air Force has this really cool program where up to 180 days, so 6 months before I officially separate off of active duty, I can be released to go work with industry. So the industry I chose was yoga, and I chose you, Lara Hyman, as the business owner that I will essentially intern with to make sure that I get translatable skills into the civilian world and I can transition gracefully.
And that's amazing. Before we get into like how you contacted me and all that, how long has the Air Force been doing this?
It's only about 2 years old. The Army had it first, I guess 3 years now, 2017. So Army had the program. Air Force was like, hey, that's a great idea, and kind of copied it over. And I think they're still probably working through some kinks. They've updated the name and they've changed the checklist, but still pretty new.
It's amazing. So I remember it was a year ago, about January of last year, I got this email, and you know, I get a lot of emails. So I remember that I got it, but it immediately caught my eye, and you would reach out and explained what this bridge program was. And you said, I know this is kind of far-fetched, but what do you think about me coming and working for you? And I thought, wait a second. Somebody wants to come work for me and you're getting paid by the Air Force. It's like you have your salary. You're just doing this for free, essentially for me, but you're still getting paid. And I just was so struck by what an amazing opportunity for both of us. And so I said, hell yes. Then you're like, and I'm going to sign up for your teacher training. Yeah. So you came here in August and completed the teacher training. But before you get there, did you think about any other industry, or like, what was it about this particular industry and me in particular that made you decide to reach out to me and ask to be here?
Yeah, great question. So when I was deciding I wanted to transition off of active duty Air Force, I remember sitting at a computer and I was looking up, originally my plan was to straight away go to school. And I said, okay, like I'm going to go get an MBA or something very high paying. And then I will come back and make a ton of money as like a government civilian or go work for somewhere in DC. I remember thinking like, oh, I just feel like I'm getting out of the things I didn't want to do in the Air Force and I'm going to get back into it on the civilian side. And I allowed myself for 10 minutes. I said, if you could do absolutely anything, money, no object, where does your mind take you? And I remember I looked up masters of yoga. And there's one master's program in the US, in LA, as a yoga studies master's program. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just do yoga. I'm like, screw it. I'll figure it out. Something will happen. And so I started kind of taking yoga more seriously. It's always helped me in my life. And then I had been following you on Instagram. You seemed very, like I listened to the podcast and you said like, oh, if you have questions, you can email me. And you said your email. And I was like, I might as well just try it. Like, there's no loss for me. Like, I'm still getting paid. If it doesn't work out, sure, I can go back to school. I can try to go get one of those jobs I was talking about. Why not allow myself the time to just jump and see what happens? So here I am.
And you did. Oh my goodness. I love that. I love that, how things just kind of line up that way. And it is, I actually, that reminded me of a quote I read today, and it's just stuck with me. And it's, life is short. Why are we not running like there's a wildfire? And I just, there's something about that quote is this idea of like, why are so many people inclined to do the things that aren't bringing them joy? And yes, money can be great, but I think we all realize, and hopefully people realize sooner than later, that that is not what is going to ultimately bring you the greatest joy. It's being in line with what you want to be doing for the rest of your life.
All right.
So in that vein, what is it about yoga that just opened you up to this as a possible life choice?
Right. Well, it helped me in my personal life. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I was putting more time into it than anything else I was doing. So I had my job and then I had some hobbies and yoga was like the thing that I did. And I didn't feel like I was wasting my time. So I looked at it. I never thought of it as a career opportunity because money, like you said, it kind of weighs in on you. But it was something I was passionate about and I really loved sharing it with people. People who would confide in me that they had hard times, I'd bring them to yoga, the mindfulness, the turning inward to help fix things. It had done so much for me. And I thought, if something like that is speaking to you, don't ignore it. Mm-hmm. Even if it's something not full time, it's something I always will have in my life. And I'm never going to get probably another opportunity like this to just try it, just to see.
How is it different for you than, say, some of the other athletic endeavors or physical fitness stuff that you had been doing before?
Yeah. So yeah, I did sports my whole life. I played volleyball in college. I did track, basketball, softball, always loved exercising, did half marathons for a couple of years, was really into running, obviously very physical fitness oriented in the military. And there was something about yoga where it wasn't for anybody else and I didn't have to surpass a certain goal. And it was that idea that I needed to transfer to the rest of my life. That not everything I was doing needed to have an exact benefit in terms of money or success or power. It was working on yourself. The spiritual piece really spoke to me, which is funny because I don't think I usually come off that way, but it was an avenue that I felt safe to just turn in and talk to God in my own way, pay attention to what was my body was doing. And it was the first time that I think I stopped looking at the future or stressing about, am I doing good enough? Am I doing enough? What more can I do to make myself more successful? And just sat and dealt with things I needed to deal with. And I see it a lot in my profession. People are constantly looking for the next ladder. How do I differentiate myself? How am I better? I'm not good enough. And it's refreshing to take a moment and open your eyes and see what's going on.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. And so then you came, because I want to circle back to that, but then you came and studied with me and did the teacher training, and then you brought it back to the military.
Yeah.
So how did everybody there accept it? Because all the things you said obviously were not that they were counter to your instincts and your training, but the idea of not having a checklist, not having a goal, not having a kind of achievement, but just being in the moment of practice. So how did you bring that? Were you nervous about bringing you back to the military? And how
I warned my team. I warned them when I left. I said, when I come back, I'm going to practice on you guys. And some people loved it, some people didn't. That's fine. What I did, because I was fortunate, I had a small team that I was leading, about 7 people. And I told them, I will do an additional physical training session. I will do it at 3:30 on Thursdays for 1 hour, which is during our duty day. I said, your choices are, you can come to this extra PT session if you want. It's your PT time for the day, or you stay at work. Your choice. So people tried it out, and I had some people absolutely love it. They're like, I didn't realize that I was doing that. And I, you know, I lift weights, and I had this pain from lifting weights, and I've never thought about, like, my neutral pelvis. I've got a guy that's a surfer, and he goes, you know, I think about it for surfing and how much it's helping me there. And I saw them applying it to other areas of their life. And it was just interesting. It seemed like they were just able to wake up from whatever their normal routines were. And they would get excited, and they would talk about how it kicked their butts, and they weren't expecting that much of a workout, but how great it was to just focus. And one of my airmen, when I left, she actually wrote to me. She was like, you know, you brought us this mindfulness and things I probably would never have expected to get in the military, but I use it every day now, and it's made such a big difference in my life. And my shop was great. They were doing amazing things. And it was like the least amount of work I felt like I had to do in my entire career, but we were getting the most productivity out of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That would be a great research, you know, project is like how this can increase productivity in all realms.
Yeah.
So what do you find is the hardest thing about being in the military? Is there a mentality? Because I have spoken to military people, and there's some that are really open to practicing yoga, and some that it's almost like it's a vulnerability that you might need to be seen as practicing yoga that they don't want it, that they don't want to do. What is the hardest thing about being in the military as the person you are today?
Right. That's a great question. I think there's things logistically that are difficult about being in the military. Not having control over your job, not having control over where you live, where you move. There's stability. You know, I'm getting a paycheck. I know that. You could deploy anytime, family considerations, divorce rates, like 80% in the military. There's a lot of stress that comes inherently with it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't deploy, one of my jobs, we were deployed in place and I was pretty much working all the time, but also having to keep up my home life. And some people just don't always understand like the stress that these people are going through. And then still you don't want to seem weak and you don't want to let people know that you can't handle it. And if you're in a command position, you can't let people know that you're not handling it. You have to remain strong or else it just breaks. So I think for a lot of people who don't want to seem vulnerable or soft, they're afraid to be too human so that people wouldn't follow them. And that's probably an obstacle that people who say they don't want to be seen practicing yoga encounter. And as a woman, it's like, I don't want to give anyone another reason to not want to follow me or to think that I am too soft or emotional to run this place. Mm-hmm. I think that culture is shifting. I think more people are showing that I can have emotion and I can care, but I can also make rational decisions and I can motivate people to follow me. And so that was something I learned to train out of myself, the emotional side, and then I ended up consciously bringing it back later.
So what brought you into the military originally?
So I was in high school and I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. And at first, you know, I kind of boiled it down to I want to travel. I want to do something really cool and I don't have money for school. So I will join the military and I'll become a pilot. And that was, I just kind of latched onto it and I went, here we go. And my dad had been in the service. I have 2 sisters in the service. It wasn't a foreign idea to me. So I went and did Reserve Officer Training Corps. So there's 3 ways to become an officer. You can go to the Air Force Academy. You can do ROTC thing I just explained, mm-hmm. and then Officer Training School, OTS. So I picked ROTC. Did that while I was going through college and then commissioned the day I graduated.
So ROTC, when you are ROTC, they pay for your entire college?
Sometimes. There's different levels of scholarship. I was on a partial, so mm-hmm. they paid for about half my undergrad. Mm-hmm. And then I got like a room, like my room was covered and I got a little stipend monthly for like books or whatever.
And then are you required to continue service afterwards? Yes. For how long?
So my commitment was 4 years active. And then 4 years inactive. So that meant full-time job for 4 years. And then we still have you on the books, but we're probably not going to call you.
Right. But you've been there for how long now?
I've been active for 6.5. It'll be 7 when I complete this program.
Okay. That's awesome. And what would you What would you say is the thing you'll miss the most about being an active duty military Air Force captain?
I'm a little cheating because I'm staying reserve. So I'll still be a part of it.
That's actually really nice though.
Yeah.
Because then it sounds like reserve, you said, is how many times?
It's one year? Weekend a month, mm-hmm. 2 weeks a year.
Okay.
Is the minimum.
So it's still a commitment.
More. Yeah. Still a commitment. And to me, I'm glad I did that because I would miss being a part of every, like, the Space Force is happening. That's exactly my job. It's such a cool time to be a part of it. It's also very frustrating and confusing, but you do make history. You are a part of such big things that you probably, A, didn't know existed, and B, I had no idea I could ever work on them. Like, you told me in high school, like, you're going to go work with satellites and rockets. I'd be like, I am not smart enough to do that, first of all. But you get to work with people from all over the country, different backgrounds. You all come under one goal. And I love that. I love creating those diverse teams and getting people excited to go do one thing together.
Now, I know you're one of six. Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you think that being one of six is a contributor to you being so great at team building?
I don't know.
I mean, you're the youngest, one could say no.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be.
I was the community project, so mm-hmm. my siblings raised me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you share everything. We shared parents. You shared time. I don't know. I think I've always just I value people, mm-hmm. and if you want to get something done, you get people to do it together, and it'll get done. You worry about them; everything else falls into place.
So, do you feel like you're going to always do something with people? Because that kind of dynamic has been with you since birth, even though you're quite a bit younger than your siblings.
Right. Yeah, I hope so. I think I'm a learned extrovert. Mm-hmm. So I definitely enjoy my alone time, but there's something so great about getting people together. And, you know, maybe it's not always my job that does it, but whatever my community brings or my future family brings. Yeah, I like that close-knitness.
And how do you think you will, I mean, as a yoga teacher, as someone who is wanting to go into this field of wellness and yoga and all that, how do you imagine you'll bring that there with, given your own kind of background in history? Is there something in your own background in history that you want to really use as an experience to help others?
Well, I think I would love to work with military because I think coming from the military gives me some credibility that, hey, I've done this. I maybe didn't do the exact things you do, but I can understand how the culture is and I can appreciate that and I can relate to you. And I find it very easy for me to relate to a lot of people. And I don't know why, if I've just been through a lot of random things, but I find it easy to kind of get a piece of them that they feel comfortable enough with me to take that step. So whether it's bringing it to people who have never tried it before, whether it's doing like team building things for the military, for the company, whoever. Something that, hey, this is a safe place and we're all probably going to look like idiots trying something new, but it'll make you feel stronger and it's ultimately better for you. Try it out.
And what I think is interesting for anyone out there who's listening that doesn't know Catherine is, yeah, you have this incredible, powerful presence, and yet underneath it, there is an amazing softness. And I feel like that's come from some of your own personal history and struggles. And what would you say that you could bring to others from that regard? Not just the military part, but because that's the structure, I think,
yeah.
as we say in yoga, the shtira. But what of the sukha of your own personal struggle could you bring that would really be benefiting so many young women, as we've spoken about?
Yeah, a myriad of things.
Yes.
So you've got the checklist of things that a lot of people deal with. So I was bulimic for a lot of years. It was stress triggering. And mm-hmm. then it was also like the cycle of, I'm not good enough. I'm not, I don't look the way that I need to look. Cause I grew up like a lot of girls do. I need to be the best at everything and also the prettiest in order to be successful. And I kind of grew up as a people pleaser too. I lived for the, you know, people don't need to know me intimately, but I just wanted to be well-liked and respected and all those things. So there's that part. I got married very young. Got divorced very young. So I saw that side of it. I had a sexually, emotionally, and physically abusive relationship in my early 20s. And then dealing with all of that, I stuffed it down and focused on work, which was also stressful. And I came to a point where I had to restart. And that's where yoga really helped me focus and say, hey, you're not okay. And it's okay to not be okay. Mm-hmm. And you are only going to survive this and get better if you take a moment to sort it out. And I'm lucky I got that opportunity.
Do you remember that moment where that kind of all came to the surface?
I do. So I grew up Catholic, and my sister had given me in 2017, when I first got stationed in California, a book. It was called Resisting Happiness by Matthew Kelly. And he's like a big Catholic ambassador. And the book, it wasn't overly Catholic in the sense like...
religious.
Yeah. It was more like, why are you resisting God? Like, why can't you sit down and talk? And, you know, regardless of what your religious beliefs are, that book had threads in it that are applicable to everybody. And he said, go to a church and sit down for 10 minutes and just talk to God and see what comes up. And I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Why do I have to do that? And I walked into the chapel on base during my lunch hour, and I just sat in the back, and it was me alone. And I think it was 5 seconds before I just started crying.
I was going to say, I would start crying. I already know myself well enough.
Yeah. And it was, I remember sitting there crying, and I was like, okay, I'm not okay. I'm like, this, mm-hmm. I need to get okay. And so every day at lunch, I went, and for 10 minutes, I just tried to say something. And when things started coming up, that's when I said, okay, maybe you look at other ways that you can help this, whether it's praying harder, writing, going to yoga, taking that time for you. I had the opportunity to have a normal schedule that helped a lot with the sleep and getting healthy again. And that was my goal for 2017. I said, you're going to get healthy. Mm. And I did.
And did, when you were in this relationship that you're referring to, did all of those kind of habits that were harmful, self-harmful, did they, I'm sure they must have been at their peak, like bulimia? Or was it worse when you were in that relationship?
After. Yeah. Because I think when I was in it, you're just in survival mode. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this sounds terrible. Like, but thank God he beat me up.
Right.
Like, thank God he left physical evidence and that I had to call the cops that night. Thank God he went to jail, because who knows what would happen. Like, I had picked up a loaded gun with an intent to kill myself because I didn't think I could get out of that relationship. And I didn't think I was ever going to be okay again. And that was simultaneously the worst and best night of my life, because it forced me to go to court with him, to hash out everything that had happened. And then as soon as it was over is when the I'm not good enough, the things that he had planted in my mind for a year,
came to the surface.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, because a lot of very strong women like yourselves end up in these abusive relationships, and there's a part of them that knows it, and then there's a part that just is like, justifies it, right? Or just rationalizes it.
Mm-hmm.
And was there moments, did your family have any idea what was going on? Were there moments where you were like, I need to leave this? And then it's...
Yeah. I think the term is like gaslighting. Like, because I remember reading it after, I'm like, wow, how... And if you have that, it doesn't help, right? Because you're like, how stupid am I? Like,
it's so psychological. Anybody can... I mean, if you spend enough time with somebody and they tell you things enough, you can start to believe it.
And I remember getting into the relationship, I was like, this doesn't feel right. But I also had just gotten out of a divorce, and I was like, well, I was already kind of low there, and that's probably why he swooped in. But I remember thinking like, oh, this seems weird, but maybe this is how relationships are. And then he would find the thread of insecurity that I have and very, very gracefully use that against me time in and time out. And then I felt dumb, and I felt like, hey, I actually love this person, and relationships are hard. You hear that all the time. It's work, and I just got to keep at it. But I do remember there was one time, I think I had been home alone without him, and I remember I caught myself in the mirror, and he was texting me something, and I remember thinking like, you got to get out of here. Like, I had that thought for a second, and then I was like, oh, okay, well, it'll be fine.
Like survival almost, like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think my family liked him, but I wasn't anywhere near home. I was stationed in Colorado. My family all is in New Hampshire, so they didn't really know.
It's interesting, because I had one boyfriend who was not physically abusive, but had some big early on signs of possessiveness. Mm. And it's weird how you can be fairly secure, or in a moment of vulnerability or insecurity, and somebody like that comes in, and you can actually in your mind twist something into like, oh, he loves me so much.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, he just wants to be with me all the time. Oh, he's just checking up on me for safety. Like, you can actually rationalize really shitty behavior, and then it can just continues, and that becomes your norm. And I feel like for women, they need to know that, I met my husband after that, and all of a sudden I was like, wait, this is kind of easy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? Actually, relationships, should be an ease to them.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like you're always nervous about somebody being upset, or in a bubble you're good, but actually in out in public life or with family, it's not as good. There's some real signs. So I feel like women need to know those signs early on, because once you start going down that path, it's very challenging to know what is the reality of it.
And if you bring it up and they're uncomfortable talking about it, or they get defensive, like that's probably.
Yeah.
But I mean,
certainly hitting somebody, like getting hit is like, you know, you do hear about women who are abused. How did that first happen?
So there was a couple of crazy instances that I just kind of chalked up to, oh, we had been drinking, or so he, when I started to feel suicidal in the relationship, I remember telling him about it. And you know, this is something I didn't bring this up in the courts because it was like, there's no way to prove it, but he had raped me twice. Mm-hmm. And I chalked it up to, oh, okay, well, maybe like that's what he thought I wanted and that's what he had said, or maybe I should have said no, or there was a misunderstanding. And I remember feeling really bad about that. And he had a bunch of guns and he had shoved a gun in my face and was like, is this what you want? Like, you actually want to die? And I remember crying and like praying and being like, no, okay, this is not what I want. And then immediately after, he pulled the, well, I do that because I love you and I want you to realize that this isn't what you want. And then he did the comforting thing. And I remember feeling like he's protecting me. Like, he does love me. And that's, he's trying to make me realize that my life isn't so bad and I just need to stop complaining. And so that was kind of his shtick. And then that night that the physical evidence was left, we had actually broken up the night before. And I was trying to get away. I had been at our apartment. He was mad that I had gone out, essentially. We weren't even together. And I had a curfew. 10 p.m. was my curfew. Wasn't allowed to hang out with anybody else. And I had gone out to hang out with one of my friends and chat about everything that happened. And she was single. And that made him really mad because I was a whore for hanging out with her because she went on dates with other men. And that's inappropriate for women, apparently. It's a lot.
Oh, my goodness.
So I got home late. And that sparked it. Mm-hmm. And I got mad at him for all the things that he had said. And he had finally gotten out of the room. I locked the door. I was feeling awful about myself. I pulled out his gun and I picked it up and I had it loaded. And it sounds dramatic, but I picked it up because I wanted to feel like the weight of that decision. And my parents came really quickly into my mind. Like, I've seen them essentially lose a child. And I was like, I can't do that to them. So yeah. He had changed his tone at the door from let me in, like curse word, whatever, to I love you. And I said, okay. And the second I opened the door is when it happened. He threw me down. He punched me. He saw that the gun was out. He didn't put away the gun. Mind you, he put it right next to him and then was playing his games. And in that whole course of events, he had ended up strangling me, beat in my ribs, pulled out a big chunk of my hair. And I remember him, like through whatever vision I had, I remember he had my head and he was shaking it and he was just like spinning. He's like, I hope you're happy. You finally did it. You finally made me this mad.
Oh my God. I know. It's always the blame, right?
Yeah.
How do you move past something like that? I mean, it sounds like yoga was a part of that for sure.
Oh yeah.
Therapy, or is it just time?
I think it's all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, survival. The military actually was a great help for me because I rationalized that
night. Was he in the military?
Yeah. Mm. I rationalized that night. I said, oh, he really did think I was going to kill myself. And that's why he did this.
He broke into it.
Yeah.
Saved me. Yeah.
And then even in jail, I was like trying to like, oh my gosh, I should bail him out. But my commander at the time was like, nope, no contact order. You're not allowed to contact him. And so I was like, no, what this, but I love him. And then about 24 hours later, I was like, holy crap. Like this is insane.
Right.
And then I ended up getting a restraining order because he started showing up to the apartment when he knew I would be there and things that he really shouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm.
And so all throughout the court process, like I was back at work, I was on crew. I was dealing with, I had a member that committed suicide on my crew. We were all really stressed out. There was a lot of things going on. And so I think for like a year, it was pure survival mode. and probably doing more damage. But because that was when the bulimia came up and I needed to be strong because there was 25 people who depended on me to come on work every day and try to make their lives suck a little bit less. And I did not heal from it until 2.5, 3 years after, when I made the pact to myself to pray, to do yoga, to meditate, take time in nature, sleep, eat well, and talk to people. Started talking to my mom, and I had some good girlfriends that I finally started chatting with. And then I met Rick. Mm. And I did not want to get into another relationship, and I stiff-armed him for a long time. But he, and I almost hate it because it's like, I would have been fine without you, but he showed me that I was worthy and capable of love, which is something I truly didn't think I was or would ever have.
Well, sometimes we meet people who are just the mirror that we needed, you know?
Yeah.
Aww. Oh my gosh. I mean, there's so much we could talk about here because there's so many women who are in relationships that are not healthy. I'm sure there's men, I'm sure it goes both ways, but there is a dominance that occurs that, you know, is inarguable.
Right.
That it is more prevalent with women being abused by men. And I mean, you have lived a lifetime at such a young age, and I would never have wanted that for anyone, but I'm just so grateful that you found all the tools and that you'll continue to use them. So what are the things that you would say to somebody who's going through, whether it's an abusive relationship or eating disorder or just not feeling worthy?
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
Don't feel bad about it. So don't keep turning all the blame on yourself. I mean, I wish someone had told me, like, you're not going to be less of a strong person for having gone through this. You don't have to take or shoulder everything. Reach out. Realize that you're human and that you deserve to be loved. And you deserve to love yourself. And I think some of it is time. Like it takes, I don't know why it takes women so long to love themselves and to get over having to fit into that mold, but you really keep fighting for it. Don't ever stop thinking that there's an ultimatum. You will get out of it. And even if you can't see it now, just please keep trying even a little bit. Those 10 minutes a day that you go sit in the back of a room, a church, whatever, just start. And be okay not being okay.
Yeah, I love that. Be okay not being okay. Because there are so many people that just plow through and it's okay to not be okay. And then start to have those steps, the protocol in place, whether it's 10 minutes in a church, meditating somewhere else, starting to move. I think let's just kind of close on like how is this yoga made you feel? Like you can get not only past it, but just do whatever you want in life.
Yeah. Well, obviously I'm a Lit fan.
Yeah. I'm plugging her. I'm shamelessly plugging Lit
yoga. No, I mean, but it's true. I mean, I really am in a position to go anywhere. And there is a reason I chose to come here. And I probably didn't even know the reason, but there was something that said, just reach out and contact this lady because whatever happens 6 months around this idea, all this stuff is going to be great. Because it has. I mean, you can ask Ricky. He's been with me on the Lit journey. Mm-hmm. I'm stronger. I emotionally am more resilient. I don't really let things bother me as much. I feel great in my body. Like I stopped doing everything else. I used to run out of fear of getting fat. Mm-hmm. The only time I ran was for my PT test. And I didn't even train for it. And I got the same score I got last year. And I grew a half an inch.
Yeah.
And I feel great and confident. When I go home, people are like, did you get taller? Like you look great. And I'm just happier. And I am more comfortable stepping into things that I know I need to. I'm more comfortable confronting my fear. I'm more comfortable like being vegan, like understanding what my blockages were to doing that. And it's just, it's so amazing connecting to yourself and then watching what grows.
That's beautiful.
And you built that and did that. So thank you.
Well, all I'm doing is hopefully being the mirror for people so they can see their own beauty and their own power. And that is probably my biggest goal is because we all have it in us. And especially for women, I'm such a big, you know, I love my guys too, but man, I'm just, because women need the support and we need the support of each other. And I'm extremely grateful you were here. So you will hear more from Catherine, I'm sure. And she's in a lot of my videos too. So we'll have her do a series just for the military people, but also just, I think I'm getting ideas about doing some for healing different journeys that women have gone through. Okay. So thank you so much for being
thank
here today.
You.
And for all of you, hugs and pulling for you always.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.